Thank you. As all of you know, we are currently enjoying the wintertime experience in Washington, D.C. Now, if you remember, January started out a little warmer than we might have expected for this time of year. In fact, there were several rather warm days. However, there was that third week in January that brought the dreaded wintry mix and colder temperatures. And we definitely were not pleased. Everywhere I went, to the grocery store, to CVS, simply talking to neighbors in the apartment building, or to those individuals waiting for the bus, it did not matter. I heard that same complaint. It is so cold. When is it ever going to warm up? Now come on, it is winter time. And I dare say we can expect more wintry mix and colder temperatures before it is over. There is a process side of life which governs and rules in the world of form and appearance. Its method of work is a creative activity, one that produces through growth and unfoldment. As a law of nature, it determines a time for expression, and it is not possible for us to rush or hurry its activity simply to accommodate our desires, our hopes, and our wishes. It just does not happen that way. Now, growing up, I lived on a farm, so I do like to talk about that farmer. The farmer plants his crops, with the understanding that there is a process involved. He plants that seed in the ground, aware that time is required before it can appear as the fully developed crop. And he waits patiently, allowing the dirt, the sunshine, and the rain to do the work, nurturing that little seed through his process of growth and unfoldment. Now, it is true that the farmer's main concern is his harvest. However, he also knows that he of himself cannot make it appear. He does his part. He plants the seed, and then he sits back and rests, cooperating with the law of expression, trusting that it will do its work. So I have to ask the question, why do we become so impatient with winter? Intellectually, we know that winter will last for the length of time allotted to its season, and no amount of wishing or hoping on our part will change that. The law of expression that governs in the process side of life will not change its system of order merely to accommodate our impatience. Therefore, it all comes back to us. We decide if we will be irritable or accommodated. Our impulse and reaction determine if we are miserable or accepting. Many times, our interpretation of what we are looking at is the deciding factor. We view life through our background, our experiences, and our limited and restricted assessment of life. Now, I think that sometimes what causes our impatience is our concept of time. We really do not like to wait. When we have an idea or a desire, we would like to have it manifest now, if not sooner. And so we talk about time, and we complain about time. We are either too early or too late. There are never enough hours in the day to do what we would like to do. Well, now really, each day arrives with 24 hours, no more and no less than any other day. If we find it difficult to fit into those 24 hours what we would like to do, then we need to make an adjustment. I assure you, the day will not shorten itself or lengthen itself in order to accommodate us. About time. We measure ourselves according to time. By age such and such, we should accomplish this or that. We also consider life itself. Now, we've never heard it said that life should be measured according to how long it lasts on this earth plane, or when it should end. If life is eternal, how can our human experience be either too short or too long? Still, we would like some answers concerning us. And so we calculate. We look at our parents and our grandparents, and we notice that they live for a certain number of years, so surely we can expect the same. Well, who says so? We only live one day at a time. You know that one with 24 hours. No need to measure it in any way. Does the day have any more value or meaning if we allow it to slip on by? Or if we fill it to capacity beyond what we can possibly accomplish? Now, it is this type of logic and reasoning which leaves us dissatisfied, impatient with us, with our world, and just about everything in it. And we begin to wonder, surely there is more to life than this. Dr. Max Babbard, our former minister, talked to us about the soul. He explained that the soul, in biblical symbolism, is that which receives the word or the truth. As the soul receives the truth, it becomes free, free from anything that does not belong to its true self. It moves outside the concept of time. It ceases to measure according to season or experience. We want to know more about the soul, the receptive faculty of our being. Now, our place of acceptance is our consciousness. When we lift it beyond appearance, it bears witness to a realm of life, one that's not governed by that activity assigned to the process side of life. It is a state of high consciousness. One sees the full harvest before it is visible to the human eye of sense awareness. Actually, it is the temptation of that sense awareness that lowers our vision to the world of condition. Dr. Babbard tells us that oftentimes the soul, the one that receives the word, sells itself to the senses, influenced by reason and logic. After all, in this world of experience, reason and logic are helpful tools in determining our view of life. Now, whether this view is positive or negative, it limits itself to individual interpretation, not aware that there are answers belong beyond what we personally can comprehend. When reason governs our house of awareness, we begin to judge according to purpose and motive. Now, this judgment belongs to the individual, and its purpose and motive are personal. When we lower our vision to consider the world of experience, it judges according to appearance, assigning qualities to the condition. And it is this time that we may become a little impatient. You see, there's always some condition in the world that we think needs fixing or correcting. And we are just so certain that we are the one to do it. This line of reasoning can keep us very busy because you see the conditions, they don't last. They do not stand still. They do not remain the same. These are but the temporary aspects of the physical plane of existence. Many times we weary ourselves over something that is simply expressing its allotted 15 minutes of fame. And when it has completed its purpose, it will cease to exist on its own terms, leaving without any hoping or wishing or help from us. For instance, let us consider the seasons of the year. Now, at some point, the wintertime experience unfolds and evolves into the springtime, allowing the warmer conditions to come about naturally, according to a process established and in place. Complaining about the wintry mix and those cold temperatures, the ones of wintertime, that does not hurry us into spring. It comes about in agreement with its order of expression, without our help or our intervention. And then the time will arrive when the springtime will have its 3 months of fame, before it then relinquishes its spot to the summer experience, all according to the natural laws that govern their rotation. We are the ones who must adjust and adapt. Far better for us to accept wintertime for what it is. Just put on a warmer jacket, a hat, and gloves. In our method of acceptance, we understand that we were the ones who judged winter in a particular way. And our curiosity allows us to observe the actions of others during this time, and we notice some interesting things. There are those individuals who love to ski. And then we notice the ones who go ice skating on those rinks that are located out of doors. Do these individuals appear to be miserable? Are they complaining that it is too cold? No, they don't act this way at all. In fact, they are laughing. And they seem to be enjoying themselves, caught up in what that season has to offer. Now, if we don't happen to be one of those individuals, that's okay. We can just stay indoors, sit in our favorite chair, read a book, and enjoy a nice cup of hot chocolate. Not many of us enjoy a nice cup of hot chocolate in the middle of July. No, this is a delightful experience appreciated mostly in the wintertime. Now, the point I am making is this. It is far better for us to cooperate with life than to resist it and complain about it. When our soul accepts truth from the inner realm of being, we view life from a state of lifted consciousness. The lure and the testimony of those five senses, they no longer tempt us, nor do we judge by appearance, assigning qualities where they do not belong. Oh, yes, we still do have a part to play. The farmer understands that he is not the one who brings his harvest to fruition. However, he also understands that if he does not plant that seed in the ground, there will be no harvest. If we do not plant seeds of openness and receptivity in our consciousness, our soul will not be able to receive truth through spiritual revelation. Therefore, there will be no spiritual harvest for us. We will simply remain as that man of flesh and blood, the one trying to change the world of condition and circumstance, impatient with his progress, or rather, with the lack thereof. Now, I totally admit that it is difficult for us to resist the urge to change people and things just to fit our specification. But again, it has to do with our view of life and of us. When we think as an individual, we make it personal to us. However, when we lift our thinking above the individual to the universal, we view life from a depth of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we did not even know existed. Limiting ourselves to the view from our backyard, from our own experience, we expect others to think and to act as we do. And if they do not, well, we will just have to change them. Now, as we adjust and adapt, we learn to cooperate with life, and we are more willing to allow others to experience the journey that is best for them. Actually, when we think about it, we do not have the wisdom or the authority to interfere with what others have put into place for themselves. We are all one in spirit, but we express in individual ways, and this should be our act of acceptance. R.H. Grenville, an early divine scientist, pointed out that the endless fascination of life lies in its infinite variety. Who would want all flowers to be roses, all days to be Sunday? If our consciousness bristles with fences dividing this or that, how shall we enter into the allness of life? The soul that is receptive to truth learns that we do not divide life. There is but one source, one life, but with a variety of expression. It is okay that flowers appear as roses and lilies. It is appropriate that animals appear as bears and as lions, as cats and as dogs. It is okay for our neighbor to think and act differently from us. Now, it is true that we get much pleasure in meeting those who are kindred souls. We do enjoy getting together with those of like mind, those who think and act like us. However, it is the odd, the strange, and the unique that saves life from routine, monotony, and boredom. Yes, we are all one in the realm of spirit. We all share the I am identity, and we may celebrate that this is so. However, let us also enjoy one another in their uniqueness. We may appreciate and admire that which is different, even as we enjoy that which is familiar. Observing the variety of expression expands our awareness of life beyond the personal. No need to change one another into something we would like them to be. No need to be impatient with what we consider flaws and imperfection, either in others or in ourselves. Remembering the multitude of stars and that each differs from one another in glory, we recognize that each one's right to be himself, to have goals and ambitions, beliefs different from ours, to express himself in his own way. Now, when we can do this, we lose all desire to fix, change, or correct. What God has sent forth, he called good, and every good, everything. That is really all we need to know. Now, I think that all of us can relate to today's lesson, especially when applied to our relationships with others. We may have even tried to correct or change a problem we were facing, working at the level of the problem, simply moving those pieces around, trying this or that. And sometimes we were successful, other times not so much. And it was at this point that we might have become dissatisfied with life as we knew it, impatient and irritable, and we were determined to find a way out. Then we read Dr. Babbitt's definition of the soul as that which receives the word or the truth. Something in us said, this is the answer. We had grown weary with the work of thought. Now we were willing to allow our soul to reveal truth to us. We begin to plant the seeds, the ones that develop a state of receptivity to the truth that is within us. We study, and oh yes, we learn. Through practice, we begin to increase in depth of listening, in depth of silence. The best practice that we can ever have is to realize that the presence is within us. It does not matter where we happen to find us, in church, at the grocery store, in an airplane, or on a desert island. Whither shall we go from his presence? The one caution is that we must be silent long enough to allow this presence to express itself. So my words to you would be this: be true to your practice, be steadfast in your determination and your conviction. Most of all, we understand the need for patience, patience with ourselves. You see, sometimes we become too eager for the God experience, and we want to have it right away. We must remind ourselves that we cannot rush or hurry us into the kingdom of heaven. Gradually, through prayer and meditation, we become that empty vessel. It is not too late for us to do this, but we do have to begin. We have to practice, and yes, we need to be patient. This morning we have the opportunity to be still and give recognition to that presence in us. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we become still and we listen in an inward way. In the solitude of the moment, we are alone with God. Spiritual discernment reveals the truth of us. We are God's only begotten child, in whom he is well pleased. We may claim the name given to this child, I am. There is none else. The master teacher resides in the soul of man, eager to reveal secrets not understood by that man of flesh and blood. Be still and know is the way of acceptance. God fills the empty vessel with love, peace, harmony, and joy. The receptive heart asks for wisdom, for knowledge, and understanding. Before we call, the answer is given. As we leave the sanctuary this morning, we go in peace. We carry God with us in consciousness, available and at hand, a very present help in time of trouble. We are not alone. God is, and beside Him, there is none else. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge Him, so that He may lift your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen.